Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in beautiful Ventura Beach, California, and I have my host Margaret Sheldon on the line. How are you?
Great. I've already been out into the store searching for air conditioning units like everyone else in Boston.
Do you have air conditioning? I don't get it.
But we don't have central air conditioning. My house is 160 years old. can't do that. But
we do. You
boxes.
Can do it.
No, you really can't. We don't have ducts.
Oh.
No ducts.
It's really hot there, right?
This house, the lawns. Oh, well, at 10 o'clock this morning, it was 87 degrees, and the humidity is already in the 80s. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you find one?
It's like trying to find the perfect Christmas gift, you know, when everybody's looking for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I always take the approach that you have to go to a town where people aren't looking for it. So, you know, go to the Cape and you can find an air conditioner.
Oh, really?
Donna,
because you're very smart.
We did divide and conquer. And, I called him from Home Depot and I said, well, they're too small, but I'm going to get one of the small units. And he went to a different Lowe's and said, okay, I got one that's bigger and, you know, we'll return what we don't use. But yeah, because our kids are coming and the babies need an air, everybody needs an air conditioner. So,
oh my gosh.
What we need a new house one of these days, but we'll see. Right now it's finally cooling down. Here we go. We're back on the weather talk, but you know what?
Oh, I know. It's terrible.
I can make it about art too, because I'm in my studio, which is one of the cooler rooms in the house. I do have air conditioning, et cetera, but, the oil paint runs, you know, it's so soupy. I don't even like painting with it. It gets tacky really fast.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, if anybody has a cure for that, let me know. Yeah. It's been
turn on the AC, but that's not an option. What'd you say?
Oh, I said it's been quite a week.
Well, I'm sorry. It's going to be hot this weekend, but we're at the beach, so right now it's in the high 60s, so we're happy.
I know. We're all – well, my sister tells me, the California girl says, it's cool here until it gets hot and then it stays hot. Until
yes,
Halloween.
They're saying it's
so
going to be.
I will send you
in the high 80s at the beach, and we have no air conditioning because we don't need it except for about 5 days a year. And I have a feeling Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are going to be three of those 5 days. So, but it's all good.
Yeah.
So
just go
Margaret,
in the water.
Last week we did a show on share groups on Instagram, and I'm already in 4 share groups right now. So I am up to my chinny chin chin in share groups. And it's been unbelievable. Someone shared me last week, as I mentioned, and 3,000 new followers, which is just insane, if you ask me. So,
oh, well, then you're
you,
going to love my story.
Mm-hmm. I know. So tell us what's happened.
Well, none of it is going to be what you think. Because, in fact, I lost some followers. What?
What? You're kidding me.
I'm fine. I mean, I've gone up. There's no question. But I did, like, I know it drives you crazy, Leslie. We just have to accept that you and I are different about this because I love that app on my phone that tells me who unfollows me. It's because I looked and, you know, the ones who aren't unfollowing me are the ones who never should have followed me. Why would some, you know, male bodybuilder who's selling protein shakes follow me? They're just out there doing that robot thing. So I don't feel bad. What I have gained are some quality followers for sure. And we've just got started. Yes. And we've really just gotten started. It's interesting that I knew a couple of people who I thought would be good. And my plan was to keep it small and manageable while we learned it. And in a blink, we were up to 10. So we decided to go with that. And I have to say, let's see, what I would say to anybody who asks me, I would say that it's almost like unintended consequences. You forget how great it is to see people whose art you love and to also kind of, and you're going to know exactly what I mean, meet new people and kind of share their enthusiasm for what they're doing. And boy, so it was great. Well, lo and behold, I got a whole bunch of emails from people, probably listeners to the show because I didn't know them, who would say things like, gee, if you ever start a share group, I would love to be in it. So I decided to be really democratic and blind about this. And I just said, sure, let's do two. And anybody mm-hmm. who kind of got in touch with me that day, we formed a second group. Now, what's
so cool.
really great about that, yes, except this is a lot of work. And my friend, I do not know how you can keep up with four. Maybe it's my learning curve, but I'm sort of like, okay, who's up? What are we doing? Oh my gosh, I want to read all these posts. I want to get to know their art. You know, it's incredibly invigorating. And I have to say the unexpected pleasure of finding new artists in your sort of and forming a little community is if nothing else happened, that would be worth it because, I mean, come on, we all sit and work in our studios all day long. And sometimes it's work to get out there and meet new people. And this is just a blast. I am having
so, Margaret,
the best time.
Let me just say one quick thing.
Yes.
Your last statement, the key about what you said was forming your own community, because what happens is you suddenly feel like you're part of a community and not just like stabbing out there at Instagram to anyone.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, yes, 100%. And I have to tell you, I woke up, maybe it was today's Thursday, it would have been Tuesday morning, and the artist who was sharing me, who had gone into this very sort of humbly saying, oh, I don't have enough followers, no one's going to want to share with me. And I thought, oh, come on, let's just do this. You know, it makes
mm-hmm.
you want to help someone.
Well, right.
She shared me. She did the most, it brought tears to my eyes. She
Aww.
Did a stories post. That was, she totally got what I was doing. She went back. She had gone through all of my feeds. She picked out, you know, the whole series I did on the school shootings, which
mm-hmm.
was very recent. And she's from overseas. She's from the UK. And she started out this interview, Leslie, by saying, you know, we in the UK and in Europe, we don't get what's going on in America.
Well, neither do we, but
and
okay.
Children.
Yeah.
I know, but you know what she said at the end of it? She said, we just sort of assume you must not care.
Mm.
And then she
launched oh my gosh.
Into what I had written about it. And Leslie, I just thought, this is worth all of the work I did right there, that one
yeah.
statement. And then to have someone else share what you do is incredible. So I can't tell you how wonderful it has been, as you said it would be. I encourage everyone to do it. It's just, honestly, I'm seeing work that I can't believe. Now, here's the next thing that happened is, you know, some people understand more than others about the way Instagram works. And once
mm-hmm.
you have this group asks and answers questions. So
of course.
We were all able to say to this artist, how did you put that together? And then she told us. And someone else
mm-hmm.
said, I can't find that button. You know, like learning what you need to know so that you can post, you can repost, you can comment, you can make sure you don't comment over your image and ruin it. It's just been incredible. It's like, I know you knew this, right? But the good news is, like, everybody has questions. I know that you were answering questions for one of the gals that was setting up a group because she said, oh, Leslie, this is wonderful. She laid it out for me. And Leslie, you'll love this. Some people in my share group had not known about artists helping artists. And others were telling them, oh, my gosh, Margaret and Leslie, I call them my two American ladies.
Oh, I love that. That's so awesome.
God, I know. We are their two American ladies. And so I was able to say, listen, you should really go back and listen to the show we did because then you're going to understand why you're doing this a little better. So that was really fun, you know, to be able to have some answers. So
that's so great.
I can't even say enough. If there are artists out there, and I'm telling you, even if you are small, just to be able to sort of broaden your vision, it's almost like it turns the light on of who you see yourself like. You know, you can have a whole different view of your audience. You'll be exposed to that many more people who like the work of the people you like. I know you know this, but I have found this to be remarkably motivating. As you can
see,
tell,
some of the things I say are actually true, Margaret.
No, you can't say that to me. You know that I take everything you say as gospel until proven otherwise.
But do you know how happy I am that you actually are experiencing how this works? Oh, I've just got this huge grin on my face right now.
We need everyone in our audience who's at all interested to give it a whirl. I will tell you, I think for me, starting off, 10 is a big group. And so because you're getting a lot of messages and a lot of posts and you're seeing things, I think, of course, I always jump into the deep end, right? But I think if you're at all hesitant, start smaller. Limit it to 4 or 6 and just kind of see how it goes. So my whole summer now, I will be posting and reposting and sharing because now I can. I just love it.
So let me back up before you continue, because last week we did a show on share groups and interest in Instagram, and you really want to listen to that show, because share groups are a behind the scene group of, say, 5 or in some cases 10 artists who every week share one another. So Margaret has a list of 10 people. This week she's going to share just the person below her. Next week she's going to share the person 2 below her. And her share group will go on for 10 weeks. These happen in Instagram stories or on Instagram feeds. And they're a great way just to get to know people, build a community, and, of course, grow your feed because it will be seen by so many other people.
Right.
So it's so encouraging and so awesome to hear Margaret's experience. And before I interrupt you anymore, I'll let you continue. Sorry.
Well, I, you know, I'm sort of like racing through this because I'm so excited. Now, I'm going to tell you that one of the biggest stumbling blocks for me has been, you know, okay, it's your turn to share. Like, you know, it's week one, you're to share the person below you, and you think, all right, I want to put this in my stories. And then having to sort of figure out the mechanics. That's pretty tricky. As we always say, but I certainly put it to the test yesterday, there isn't a question you have that you cannot get a really good answer just by Googling the question.
Of course, so true.
I mean, I've always known that, but it has saved my bacon this week because I'd be thinking, huh, how do you get that really nice text, you know, and how do you sort of fit it in so that the image is larger? All of those things, certainly the share group could answer, but even more to the point, just by Googling it, I was able to, I mean, I'm really going to tell you my flaws now. I can read it, and that's great, but I love when there's a YouTube video that shows me screenshots, and they take me through it, because then they don't just say, oh, that little arrow that looks like a paper airplane. Instead, they actually point to it on the screen, and I think, oh, that. And it's like really helpful. It's one of the most helpful tools, and I'll tell you, I do that for any problem or question I have about an app or a program or on my computer if I can't figure how to clear out my browsing history or something.
Oh, ditto. Thank you. 100%.
You're right. 1, 2, 3, and you're done. So everyone should do that. Now, people, you know, just writing to me and saying, if you start another one, I'd love to be in it. Well, that's great. It's kind of, you know, random. You're taking your chances on who we pick. But the other way to do it is look at whose work you really like, who you've been following, and then just ask them.
Absolutely.
Because, have you ever had anybody say no, Leslie? It's such an opportunity.
Okay, this is going to sound really weird. I've never started my own. I've never done it. I get so busy that I'm like, oh, I need another share group, and then boom, someone will invite me, which is so cool because there are these people that have like 200,000 followers. I'm like, they want me to be in their share group? I mean, it's so humbling and it's so awesome. But I will, I'm sure I will start one. I just haven't ever done it, which is kind of lame. But you learn so much.
Well, I don't know.
And,
all,
and when you mentioned about stories, Margaret, you learn so much about stories just trying to figure out how to do them. And the next one is so much easier. So are you doing one on your feed and one in stories? Is that what you're doing?
You know, it's funny. I'll tell you the truth. And this is probably a good lesson for anyone out there who's sort of toying with this. If you do a share in your stories, the great thing is it's not in your feed, so you don't have to worry about it looking out of place when someone looks at your page or whatever. And it comes down on its own after 24 hours. However, you have to make sure you tag the artist. If the artist who you're sharing doesn't see it, they're asking, "Oh, I'm sorry, did you share me?" And it's like, "Well, yeah, I did it in my stories." So for the beginning, what I've decided is I will do both in case they miss, because everyone's so thrilled to see themselves shared.
Oh, sure.
And if you put it in your feed, another page from your book that I took, Leslie, is I will then just archive it, because that takes it off your feed and, you know, kind of puts it in a separate pile. That way you don't have to worry about that.
We always say,
for some,
if you put a share up on your feed, make sure it's there for 3 days minimum, and then you can archive it. But I might have forgotten a really important thing to mention on last week's show, and that
What's
is
that?
As soon as you post it on your feed, go to your post that you put up, go to the little directional arrow, you know where that is?
Yes, I do.
And click it, and it allows you to share it to any DM you want. Go to the DM of that share group and click that, and then it pulls your post into the DM. So not only will the person who you featured see it, but everyone else will, and hopefully you'll encourage them all to go and comment and like.
Mm-hmm. Right, because
and that's so
one
helpful.
Of the sort of, that's one of the rules of play, isn't it? That not only do you share the person below you, but when other people in your share group post a share, you go to it, comment, and like.
But if you put it in the DM, then they just click on it. It's so much easier. Now, it's a little harder in stories.
Great.
It's a little hard. You can't do it directly from stories, but you should immediately go to the DM and say, "Hey, I just shared Susie in my stories."
I gotcha. Good.
Got it. That will help.
Good, good. Yeah. And then I have to say, you know, a lot of people are using the hashtag one to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is one to follow. And what I ended up doing last night, I thought, let me see what else is on one to follow. Because seriously, that's a great way of seeing what other people outside of your group are sharing. It's just
really and when kind I of use
fun
it,
to noodle around. And
my posts do way better when I use that hashtag when I'm sharing someone. They
oh,
always
right.
do.
Well, that's good.
Because I think a lot of people follow that.
Yeah. I just got a very exciting text message. I have a niece who is waiting to have a baby that has been stubbornly breached, and the baby just turned. So let's say yay!
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm so relieved for
so
her.
Anything else you wanted to add about this before we get into portfolio reviews?
No, I think the only thing I would add is this is a great, you know, sort of week. It's a very quiet week in the work world. A lot of people are on vacation. And if anyone is hesitant, all they need to do is to start looking at the things that are being shared, and they'll quickly get the flavor of it. And, And, of course, about the time we master this, I am fully expecting Instagram to change the rules. You know,
probably
something
not,
new
but we'll
will come
see.
Up. There'll be maybe enhance.
Yeah,
rules. That may be. More.
I like that word better.
So yeah.
Well, it just
all right.
You guys,
so,
this is an example of why you don't want to sit around and think about doing something. You actually want to do it. I mean, we did the show less than a week ago, and Margaret's already in two share groups. She has increased her followers. She's met some amazing artists. She feels like she has a community, and she's lost some of the duddy followers, which is just fine by all of us. And she will promise
really
me that
is.
She won't concentrate on that. Okay, my friend?
Mm.
I'm always just
you know?
Yeah. So our next topic, which is really our topic for the show, but that was so exciting we had to share it, is about portfolio reviews. And I'm going to let Margaret take the reins on this one because I've never done a portfolio review before. Never.
I know. It is so much fun. The first thing I want to say is this is in direct response to a couple of questions I received. It's interesting. I've talked about these portfolio reviews that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, I have an in-person art group. We get together once a month and we have dinner. We do a potluck dinner and we all share whatever work is sort of on the easel at the time. It's really great, but a lot of those artists hadn't done portfolio reviews, and I'm always preaching to them. And a lot of them have started
mm-hmm.
doing it and really found it beneficial. So, of course, our listeners hear this, and people want to know exactly what it is. And I thought it's a good week for us to tell you. So I think it's important to say people fear things like this because they still think of a critique as a negative thing. And I know the word, you know, it probably comes from some Latin, crite or whatever, but it is not
of being mean and talking
thing.
About other people.
Yeah, it is not meant to be scary. I can't believe any reviewer would sign up for this thinking that they were going to, you know, be out to get anyone. These are really positive things. I do it through the Cambridge Art Association, of which I am a member, and
mm-hmm.
I have to say I just love it. I find that I look forward to it every year. I do pay a fee because the reviewers are paid, and you can do anywhere from 1 to 3 reviewers. That's one of the sort of best things, I think, because you kind of get a wider breadth of feedback. And I know a lot of art associations do these. I actually asked the director of our group recently how many years this had been going on, and they've done it 10 years in a row. So
wow.
You know it's beneficial. There was a guy who was, I call it the holding tank. You know, everyone shows up, and it's not your time for the review. You kind of go into a big room where there's tables set up and people chit-chat, and there's, you know, coffee and tea and whatever. And this fellow had driven from Long Island up to Boston for it. Now, that's probably, even if he took the ferry to cut some time off, that's a good 2 to 3 hour drive. So
mm-hmm.
people, you know, go out of their way to get them. No one should fear this. So the kinds of people who do the reviews, I always see gallery owners. Tell me who doesn't want to get their work in front of a gallery owner. There's museum staff and curators. There, a lot of times there are, you know, educators, art professors from the local universities or art schools who do it. Publishers, we have a couple of design-oriented magazines here in Boston, and the publishers have been there. And then we have what's now called influencers. Don't you love it? People who are really hot on the interior design and art scene in Boston, sometimes jury smaller shows, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, they have their finger on the pulse of what's happening, and they will sign on. I've seen all of those people at my reviews. And it's really a chance not only to get really honest feedback, but get your work seen. And I have to tell you, I have heard friends of mine who have come away with the most practical advice. You know, your work is great, but you should be presenting it in a different way. You should try this. Or you paint beautifully, but it's your work on paper that's really saleable because of the price point. How much more do you have of this? I mean, you get feedback on what it's going to take to have some sort of success. And honestly,
mm-hmm.
everyone's looking for something different. But this is a chance to have the people who are making those decisions tell you what they think. So
right.
I've done it three years in a row, which means I've had a pretty good spread of reviewers. And some have been better than others. I find a lot of that has to do with whether or not I've done my homework on the reviewer, and I really, mm-hmm. you know, you select or you try to get who you want. You know, I try to get a feel for who they are.
Do you know in advance? Do you know in advance who the reviewer is?
Yes. You know, and there's certain reviewers who sell out instantly, so you have to be sort of quick on your feet. And I'll tell you the truth. The first year in, I just asked the staff at Cambridge Art to help me choose who they thought would react to my particular kind of work. And I let them lead me, and they did a beautiful job. So I'm a big believer in if you don't know, ask someone who does, and people mm-hmm. are usually happy to help you. So, you know, some reviewers have been better than others. Again, I still think it's beneficial, no matter what, like the least likely people have really done amazing things to move my art along. I will share with you that this year I had a fellow, one of my three reviewers, was on the staff at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, which you and I visited last year, Leslie.
Yes.
And he is in charge of special projects and residencies and things. And I thought, oh, this will be interesting. He looked at my work and he said to me, you know what? Put down your paintbrush and do something else for 2 months. You need to clear your head and start over. Like, try printmaking, take a sculpture class, you know, fool around with whatever it is you want to. And that was exactly the right thing to tell me at that point, because I feel like it recharged my battery in good ways. Anyway, I think my point in sharing that is you never know who's going to give you sort of what you need to hear. And, you know, as I say, you think you want, you know, it's sort of like dating the wrong person, you know. Maybe it's really been the guy over there the whole time. So anyway, this is one of those things. I do have tips, and I think that I wrote these down after going to a couple of seminars and things about, you know, how to get what you want from a critique. Again, a portfolio review is a little different, but I just think this is advice everybody should jot down if they're actually considering it. So
First
thing I would tell anyone, and I think, you know, it probably goes without saying, but I see people make mistakes all the time, which is bring only your very best work. Now,
sure.
You know, every time I pack my work up, and you can bring it in physically, or if it's very, very large, you know, have good digital images, and they're happy to look at them on the screen of an iPad or a computer. But don't throw those last two misfits in thinking, oh, I'd love to know what they think of this. They're going to think you're not focused. Bring only your very best work. And maybe that means you only bring six pieces.
Wouldn't you obviously do that? I mean, I'm sorry. Is that not like, is it more of maybe make sure what you bring, that you may think it's your best work, but it really is your best work? I mean, is that more?
I guess it's a matter of, I'll tell you, for me, it was at the last minute looking over in the corner and going, oh, I really love those two little paintings. I'm going to bring those anyway, even though they are different. And I shouldn't have confused the conversation.
So you shouldn't have brought them.
I shouldn't have. Okay. I think, here's what I think. The fantasy is that everyone thinks, you know, it's like a studio visit. They think that some gallery owner is going to come into your studio and look at everything and then say, oh, what's this? And find a painting that, you know, you're not ready to show. And they say, this is beautiful. That's not the way it works. Honestly, at a portfolio review, they are going to react to only what's in front of them. And I think you need to kind of limit the conversation. You know, focus it is what I want to say. Focus it on the work that's in front of you, not scatter it. So that's the first thing. The next one is one I'm sure everyone's mother has told them. Be on time and make sure you're organized. You know, I have seen in that little holding tank waiting to go in, where it's done here is at Lesley University, because there's in their art building, there's a great big open space, and each reviewer has a table. And when it's your turn, They kind of signal you. There's someone running it who will come and find you and say, so-and-so is ready. And you then go in and you sit down and, you know, you introduce yourself and you have a conversation and you look at your work. There are people who are sitting in that holding tank who honestly look like they just rolled out of bed and their work is everywhere and they're still like fumbling through it and you just think, oh boy, the word hot mess comes to mind, you know? It's like that just doesn't benefit anyone. It doesn't benefit you and it certainly gives a bad impression to them because usually the reviewers are usually pretty polished. You know, I know we all love our funky art world, but yeah, you just want to have your act together. So work on that one. I also know someone, a friend of mine, whose car was rear-ended on the way to her portfolio review. And so she walked in with, you know, 3 minutes to spare. And the first words out of her mouth were, oh, thank goodness I left early. And I thought, yes.
Wow.
Early work. So I highly recommend leaving early and being organized. It's very helpful for someone who's going to a review to make a list of talking points and especially questions.
Great idea.
You know, you run out or you kind of go dry or conversation goes off in one direction where you know you wanted to ask a question in the other. So I think if you have that list with you, it's really beneficial. And, you know, one of the great things, I'm not sure this is the place to practice, but it's really important that as an artist, we're all comfortable talking about our work. And you need to have at least an idea of where you want to take it.
Right.
Or ask about that. You can't just, I think it's a mistake to toss your work in front of a reviewer and say, there it is, tell me what you think. That's just too broad and it can go south. And there's not, right? I mean, we talked about this, my goodness, years ago. If someone is lucky enough to, you know, be in a gallery and have the gallery owner ask you about your work, you kind of need to know what you're going to say ahead of time because just winging it can be an epic.
Is that the
exactly.
Yeah.
I think, being prepared and kind of writing that stuff down is the only way to ensure you're not going to pull a blank when you're sitting there.
Right.
Especially if you're an intimidating person. Although I can't imagine you being intimidated by anyone. My goodness.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well. Just show them your followers. That'll stun them into silence. Anyway. So, again, I just want to reiterate, make sure your work is not only your best, but it's consistent. And this is something that is very difficult for us because, you know, it's the old thing about if you try something new, will your collectors hate you? Will the galleries mind? All of the rest of that. I think experimentation and trying new things is great. But, again, if you bring that for a review, it tells them that you haven't really found who you are as a painter yet. And I can't say enough about that narrow focus. I've seen it over and over again, and it's kind of a rookie mistake. It's the same thing that applies to your Instagram page, right? You know how you have stressed the page should have a homogenous feel. There should be sort of a cohesive look to that Instagram page. The same thing is true of the work you're showing to a gallery. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a gallery that's been representing you for years and you want to experiment, knock yourself out. But I think first impression, you want them to think they know what they're going to get from you. That's just
got it. No, that's really smart.
And it's fun. All right.
Yeah.
I
agree.
And
I think that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. This is like the story of life, right? We're all trying to figure out who we are, but in private, probably. Here's another one. I think it's a really cool thing if you share maybe what you're working on and ask for direction. I've gotten some of my best feedback when I've brought along my sketchbook where I sort of plan out paintings, or I, you know, with a Sharpie, actually, with a big fat Sharpie, a lot of times I'll kind of block in compositions or think about ways I might take a series of paintings. And let me tell you, you can have some of the juiciest conversations about that. It's just so beneficial. It's one of the things that I think is open enough. In other words, if you bring all 12 finished paintings or images of finished paintings, they're reacting to things that are done. If you're talking about what you're working on and you're asking maybe for feedback or direction, it kind of keeps the conversation open-ended. And if you're really lucky, the reviewer then, I found as often as not, will ask you to keep in touch and follow up. And what a great thing to come away from. Number one, you've got something to work on right the minute you step out the door. And number two, those are the relationships you want to nurture if your end goal is to have your work, you know, shared, whether it's a designer or it's a gallery owner. And, you know, if it's mm-hmm. a museum, what a great reference that ends up being for things like residencies that you might want to apply for, or galleries that you're talking to. I mean, I think a little, you know, name dropping on who you've been talking to about your work can be a wonderful thing. So I'm all for that one.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah. My next piece of advice kind of harkens back to what we were saying earlier, which is when you're given that list of reviewers, I think you should choose with an eye on kind of what your end goal is. You know, I had a conversation this year with a woman who's a working artist who actually owns a gallery with another partner. And we had a very different conversation, but I was curious about her experience as an artist / gallery owner. So I put her as my third, thinking,
Can I make a comment?
Yeah.
I had no idea you got to choose or rank who you want as your reviewer. Is that common? Does that work across the board typically?
Sure, if you're paying for it, you betcha.
And how much do you pay for it?
Well, I think
typically
for the Cambridge Art Association, I think we say it'd be like $70 for one reviewer, mm-hmm. or, and then it's like a deal, you know, or
I am so naive. Yeah. I had no idea that you paid for it. I had no idea that you actually could then select who you wanted. And it makes sense because,
sure,
let's say you're an abstract artist and the person only paints plein air. That might be a strange
100%.
Reviewer, right? What'd you say?
Right.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Exactly. I said it's 100% true. And
yeah,
so I always, like I said to you, the first year, I didn't know any of the reviewers really. And I said to the staff, can you help me choose who am I going to get good feedback on my sort of the painting I do? And they were able to say, oh, you want Catherine French was her name. She's,
mm-hmm.
I just love her. She's the powerhouse. And I'll tell you, I was so intimidated because I knew that she had just turned around a big museum here. And now she had gone on to a position, up in northern Vermont, where there was a whole lot of really exciting things happening, and she's always jurying important shows, and she's just an amazing woman, and I was scared to death. And she walked in, and the first thing she said to me was, well, I looked at your website, so there's a word to the wise, make sure
mm-hmm.
you clean up your website and have your, you know, most recent work on there. The second thing she said was, tell me what kind of a critique you want. Do you want a harsh critique? And I don't mean, but I mean harsh in that I'll really get into it. Or do you want something softer? And I was like, well, I'd like soft with a dose of harsh reality. I was like, don't kill me. And she, you know, luckily, she kind of understood. I didn't think I was ready to be eviscerated. I probably needed it, but I today, if I were to walk in, I'd say, let me have it. You know,
right.
Tell me what you really, truly think. But yeah,
I want to hear how it's changed for you from your first one to your third one.
Oh.
We can talk about that in a minute.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good question. Gosh, you should interview. So anyway, there you go. You choose your reviewers carefully. You decide what it is you are hoping to get out of it. And I'll say this. I wrote in my notes, a museum curator will give a very different advice to you than a gallery owner will. But I hesitantly, you know, sort of went with, I actually had a substitute. Somebody dropped out and they gave me that fellow from the Gardener. And that ended up being one of the best pieces of advice, which is just to say that, you know, sometimes what you think you're going to get from a person isn't always so. It can be a surprise.
Well,
so,
a gallery owner is looking.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. A gallery owner is looking at it from the perspective of, will this sell in a gallery? Likely. And what would the general appeal be? Where a museum curator is looking at it entirely different. So that's interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
And he had a more educational, I could see it. You know, obviously he was advice to me, put down the brush. You know, you've got too much chatter in your head. Put down the brush and step away for a bit and see what you come back with. That's something that a really good professor or a mentor might say to you. You know, it's not advice that you would get from somebody who wants to know when you can get them three more beach scenes.
Right.
So. Yeah. All right. So another thing that I do, because, you know, why not in this day and age, is I research the reviewers. You know, I look at where they've worked and what shows they've, if curated a show, I'll look at the show and see what they selected. I like having some understanding of their point of view and what it is they do every day. First of all, if nothing else, if you hit a dry spell in your conversation, you can bring up something, you know, either about their work or, you know, you can ask a question, and it's just sort of, it's the way to be, I don't know, a good conversationalist. It makes you a lot more interesting if you know something about them. And that has never failed me, actually. This piece of advice, this is a good one. It was given to me by Erin Becker, who is the director of the Art Association. She said, take notes. You will never be able to remember the advice and the resources the reviewer is going to give to you. And,
right.
Wow, was that true? You know, you're excited, you're talking about your work, it's 20 minutes to a half an hour, and before you know it, it's over. And having those notes, particularly because they ramble off references all the time. Oh, look at this. Do you know so-and-so's work? I mean, I have come out with a list of artists that I go home and Google and see why it is they thought I should look at so-and-so's work or how, you know, somebody handled this.
Yeah.
See, you want to do one, don't you? It's really fun. The other thing is, even months later, I will crack open that notebook and look at what they said just to see if I'm on track or if I took any of the advice or if I've even remembered some of the fine points. So,
and sometimes the advice you get for you isn't current and pertinent at the time. So you may go back 3 months later and read some advice you got and be like, oh my gosh, I totally get that.
Right.
And it's the same when you read an art book. Don't read an art book once because probably 75% of it is something that's not really relevant or important to you. And yet 2 or 3 months later, a year later, it could be the most important thing you're struggling with. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that true of life?
Oh,
it's kind of why I know. It's why it's fun to save your report cards from grammar school. Like,
So
I didn't share well with others. Here's the most basic one. And I don't know how anyone could not do this, but you have to show up at these things. You should go everywhere with business cards, quite frankly. And
yes.
You know, we've talked about Vistaprint, where you can get really inexpensive, nice business cards. We've talked about Moo, which I love with their business cards. But I have to say, I don't even care if you've got an image on it. Make sure you have the basic information with your contact information, your website, and yes, your Instagram, because the truth is, they're all on Instagram. Just like we are all day long. And if you don't, you're dead. They will also give you their business cards. And it's the perfect way, if it's time to go, when you say, oh, I'd like to give you my card, that's the time when they will say, oh, right, here's mine. And I mean, honestly, getting that contact information is worth its weight in gold. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, Leslie, I know you follow this because I've experienced your efficiency with it. 24 hours after Leslie leaves, there is a thank you note. Always send a thank you note. And I want to say this is like a non-negotiable. And yes, email is great because, you know, if you email them, they're going to have your email address in their inbox. But the truth is, there isn't a soul, I think, that walks the earth who isn't impressed when they get a little note in the mail with a stamp on it, the old-fashioned way. And all you have to do is thank them for what they, you know, maybe shared with you. But I am absolutely certain that that is the reason why some of these people will remember me from time to time. So there you go.
Awesome.
My final tip was one we talked about, which is to review those notes. And as you said, sometimes you have to be ready to hear it. And I can't tell you when that is, but if it's not the day of your review, as you said, it could be 6 months later. And
right.
it's one of those things like paying dividends. So skip the mani-pedis or whatever you're spending your money on and reach out and see if you can find yourself a portfolio review. That's my advice. If you want your art to keep growing, yeah.
So let me ask my question now. So you've done three of these, right?
I have.
Over what time frame?
Yes.
A couple of years?
Three years. I've done it three years in a row.
So how has the experience changed for you from the first one to the second one to the third one? Were you terrified for the first one?
I was scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell a secret on the first one. This is actually a pretty good story. You know, I threw myself at the mercy of the assistant director to choose someone for me or some three people for me. And she gave me a piece of advice. She said, the sessions are 20 minutes long with a 10-minute buffer. And she said, I am so convinced that you will benefit from Catherine French that I think you should book all three slots with her. And I thought, can I do that? And she said, of course you can. And what that did for me is that it gave me the ability to have a little more of an in-depth conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I did after the first 15 minutes. And I actually, you know, I have never gone back to her as a reviewer, but that did more to move me along that year than anything else. She was just a fount of information. And luckily for me, I had a very positive review. So it was a good thing. But I will tell you that there were two little ampersand panels that I threw in at the end as I was packing for that first review. And I thought, oh, I wonder if, she, you know, let me see what she thinks of these. And that's where my advice comes from. I never should have done it because she was like, I don't know, well, this has nothing to do with that. And I was like, oh, I'm wizard. I thought that was the harsh part, right? But she was right. And it taught me to keep the conversation and to keep myself focused when it came to that review. So that was the first year. The second year, I had a love fest. I had just come back from New York City where I had seen the Georgia O'Keeffe show. My poor husband, I sort of nudged him in our kid's apartment and said, you know, if we leave now, we can make it to Brooklyn to see this great show, which we did. But it meant that I was high as a kite from that show, you know, so excited. And I walked in, and of course, it came up in conversation, and I had three reviewers, and they were three great reviews. So I came out of that one walking on air. And this year I went in expecting the same thing, but you know, it's like dating. You can kiss a lot of frogs before you get a prince. I think I had my true love prince experience my second year. And this year what I got was probably something that is more appropriate for an artist who is maybe starting to refine. I would say I'm starting to refine my vision of what I want to do and say as an artist. And it was appropriately so. So I was much more relaxed this time. And I went in, it was sort of like I was wondering, you know, could I ever top it? It's like the perfect meal. Oh, I'm going back to this restaurant. Could it ever be as good as it was last year? It was a different kind of review, but it gave me a lot more to chew on, you know, step away from the easel for a little while. That was one great one. The artist who owned the gallery, actually, we've connected, and I think we're going to be doing some work together. It was like, it was a more mature experience this time. So how's that?
That's unbelievable.
You only
That's
fall
so
in
great.
Love once. Yeah. So, yeah. I know. I just love it. And, yeah. So I will do it probably again next year.
Of course.
As long as, as long as I can keep finding reviewers I want.
Right. Huh. That's amazing,
what were you gonna
Margaret. That is. No, I was just going to say, would you change up the reviewer?
For sure. I do love that. And plus, you never know when you're going to strike gold, right?
Right.
You know, one of the reviewers on my second year that was so exciting and was so enthusiastic about my work and what I was showing her, she curates the largest private art collection, at least on the Eastern Shore. I would think that you probably have others out there in the wild, wild West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really interesting for me to hear her point of view. And I would be thrilled to be able to follow up with her, you know, 2 years after having seen her and see where it is. The other thing, how could I have forgotten to say this? Because, you know, one thing artists all dream of is the elusive studio visit. When
right.
a gallery owner says, I'd like to come to your studio, and that happens all the time. I think it's frequent anyway at these portfolio reviews, because for the gallery or the private collection curator, this is their chance to come see your work without all the hubbub. They want to see what's on the easel. They also get a really good sense of what your full body of work looks like. And that's my goal for next year is the studio visit.
Right. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. So there
wow.
you go.
That's wonderful. Well, congratulations. I think this has really been amazing information. And if anything, hopefully not only will it help people prepare, but I'm hoping it's more of a catalyst for people to actually do a portfolio review. Because a lot of people probably thought, I'm not ready, I don't know. But, hey, you got to start somewhere.
Do it. You have to do
it.
And the other thing is, if you don't know where to find one, I think ask your local art association to set one up. I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
only the first time. And you know, I'm sure they make a little money. And my guess is they probably split the proceeds with the reviewers. I think it's a little bit of a fundraiser. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is something that, yeah, everyone should have the opportunity to do it, because it can't just be the kids who are in art school who have the advantage of critiques and reviews and feedback. And it's such a different experience when you're the adult getting it.
Just, no, I agree.
I can't say it. So rewarding. So there you go.
Great topic.
Something
great
to work on.
Information, Margaret. Fabulous. Just fabulous. This is so wonderful.
Thank you.
And I'm,
well,
I'm so
glad.
Happy we got
I'm
the
glad.
Show done before the big holiday. So thank
you. I know.
You.
Well, we should tell everyone. We both have big 4th of July plans. So this just worked out beautifully. And Leslie,
yes.
I can't thank you enough, especially for all of this Instagram sharing. By the time I talk to you next time, maybe I'll be a wizard at this, but we'll have to wait and see.
Oh, you are so funny. We shall see. But
I'm loving it.
You're gonna be the expert. Yes, you are. And thank you. And to everyone, those of you that are in the U.S. of A., have a wonderful 4th of July. Happy belated Canadians for their 150, I don't know how many years it was, 153, I can't remember, for your anniversary and your birthday, and all is well. So, goodness.
All is well.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
well, have a happy 4th of July.
Wonderful week.
Enjoy.
And next week, we won't have a show because I will be in South Carolina Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for a blogging conference.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Oh.
So,
bring us
back
lots
fun.
Of information.
Oh, you
bet.
Know I will.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Safe travel.
All righty. Happy 4th. Bye.